Oh, I love starting off hours like this.
Yes.
Darren and Derek here in the studio. Robbie Stanley alongside with the breaking news sounder. Welcome, by the way. The breaking news sounder is not that you're in here, because we've already told folks you were coming in. But the trade winds are swirling. Just like last night in the NBA draft, the trade winds are swirling today in Chicago, in the Windy City.
They sure are.
And it looks like, according to Elliot Friedman and others, that Chicago and Arizona have indeed struck a deal.
They have. And the Blackhawks Twitter account has tweeted it out, so it's official,
so
Darren.
So it's done.
Nicholas Jalmerson, a defenseman, really good defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks, is on his way to Arizona in exchange for Connor Murphy and Laurent Dauphin. I probably didn't say that right.
Is that a mascot or a player?
It's a real player, theoretically.
Laurent Dauphin. That's how dolphins sound.
I don't know. Probably not, no. Underwater.
They sound that way underwater. So that's big news. I mean, the first impression I have of that is salary dump. Chicago is just creating room to go out and maybe try to sign a free agent or something like that. But there's no question this is a very different-looking Chicago team right now than it was even 3 weeks ago. And, I you know, maybe their window is gone at
this
point.
What I was going to ask. Is their window closing?
I think it is.
I don't know about gone, but is it closing?
It's closing. And you know, obviously they could still do something, at whether it's tonight at the draft or via free agency, and you can change your mind about that. But obviously getting swept by the Predators was a huge wake-up call for this organization. They fired an assistant coach. The tough news about Marian Hossa, he's not going to be able to play next year. Now they've shipped off one of their best defensemen. And you know, you take a look at their defense corps anyway, it wasn't that great to begin with, other than Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. So they've shipped him off, and all of a sudden you take a look at that Blackhawks team, and this is what we've been talking about for a few years now. You give guys like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews those huge contracts, and eventually it catches up to you, and it looks like it's catching up to the Blackhawks right now.
You gotta rob the Peters.
Yep.
To pay the Pauls. Paid the Pauls, but now you gotta rob Peters, and they've been doing that for years, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Brandon Saad, all these guys that they didn't want to give up, Sharp.
I mean, you could make an all-star team.
Look at the guys they've been losing the last couple of years.
Dustin Byfuglien, it's unbelievable.
Now it just continues. Now Scott Darling, the backup, also. Nal Johnson, wow. And by the way, does it look like it's for the seventh pick?
No, that was the original report that it was going to be for the seventh overall pick. It does not look like that's the case.
That's why teams like the Predators will continue to be very good teams, because they're not going to mortgage their future to try to keep one individual. They believe in what they're doing. They believe in their system. They believe in scouting. And, hey, listen, if we have a special player, yes, but we're not going to try to keep eight special players, you know, because eventually, like it's happening in Chicago, you know, somebody going to come knocking at the door.
Right.
And you're going to have to either – cut everybody and have no team, or just deal with it.
Yeah, and I think this probably underscores the importance of what David Poile has done even more, because he has three of the best contracts in the entire league when you take a look at Matias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, and Roman Josi. I mean, it's unbelievable that he was able to get those guys locked up for that long of a term for the amount of money he was able to do, because that creates room for everybody else. I mean, you take a look at the cap space the Preds might have.
Say that again. Say those names. So
Matias Ekholm.
Matias Ekholm is under $4 million for the next 4 years.
Yep. Roman Josi, $4 million a year.
$4 million a year.
Signed a seven-year deal for $4 million a year. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Grossly underpaid.
Yeah.
I mean, and keep going.
And Ryan Ellis as well.
Ryan Ellis.
Yeah.
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million.
Ryan Ellis, $2.5 million. Just say that. Let that sink in.
It's unbelievable.
By the way, Cali Yarncroke, $2 million a year for the next, how many more years does he have left? Five years.
Lord.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Kudos to David Poile.
I mean,
and that's how you build a winner.
And that's how you keep it intact. That's how you have that window.
Exactly, and that is something, obviously, that's something in the next 2 or 3 years the Predators are going to have to be cognizant of. But right now, they're in pretty good position. And even with signing Johansson and Arvidsson this offseason, they're still going to have some cap space to either go out and make a trade or bring in a guy via free agency that can replace James Neal. So financially speaking, and from a cap perspective, they're in really good shape. They don't need a lot, obviously. They just got off a Stanley Cup run, so they don't need a whole lot to add to their team. But should they want to move around a little bit and add a guy or two, they're going to have the room to do it.
Remember, Chicago has been ousted in the first round 2 years in a row now in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And
before, when they won the cup, and now they, and since then, they've been ousted 2 years in a row in the first round. And as you mentioned, this year, we all know, was a sweep.
Yeah, they got their doors blown off by the Predators.
Yeah.
And it was not even close.
And so right now, when you look at this roster, especially with the Hossa news, I mean, how could you make the case? Yes, they were the number one seed. They won the division. Number one seed in the Western Conference. Can you make the case today, right now, that they're the best team? They're the favorite in the West?
No.
They're the favorite in the Central?
I don't think there's any way you can. I mean, they have – obviously, you're going to be competitive with Kane and Taze and Keith back there. But the thing that stuck out to me in the playoffs was the depth. And now their depth is even worse than it was before. So
I'm not declaring them dead.
Right,
I'm saying,
yeah.
Can you can't make them the favorite.
No, there's no way. I don't think there's any way they're the favorite. You know, you take a look at a team like even – obviously the Predators, but Minnesota I would even put over Chicago at this point, just with the roster that they have and the depth that they have and the young players they have. Chicago has some good young players, but they're not ready yet, and we saw that last year in the playoffs as well. The depth is just not what it used to be in Chicago, and it caught up to them.
Now, Robbie, what do you think? Obviously, Preds lose the nil. They have the, 30th pick in the draft this year, which is very low in the first round. And if you find a special player at number 30, then you've really done your scouting. Do you think they can make a move to try to move up, or will they stay put? And what do you think they go best available? And try to eventually, you know, groom a guy to eventually come up in 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, I think if they do keep their draft pick, they'll go with best available. So whether that's a center iceman, a defenseman, whatever the case may be, I think that's what the position they're in right now, where if you're a Predators team and you're building and stockpiling that future, if you keep your draft picked, you're probably going to take the best available player. Now, having said that, one of their best assets that they have left in their arsenal, if they're going to make a trade, is this first-round pick. You might see the Predators make a move with this first-round pick and see if they can acquire another player. So we'll see.
Listen to this. I mean, this is insane. So now Elliot Friedman just tweeted this out. He's hearing that a Panarin and Saad deal is in the works.
Oh, my goodness. Bringing Saad back to
Chicago. What is Chicago doing?
What is going on?
What is Stan Bowman doing?
Hey, the draft's in Chicago. He's putting on a show, man.
I guess he is.
Hometown crowd. He's
We're
going to
take
up
all the attention in this year's draft. So Elliot Friedman, he just tweeted this out, hearing there's a Panarin-Saad deal in the works. So that would be Columbus and Chicago are talking trade.
It's bringing Brandon Saad back from where he came. Well, they've been looking for a first-line winger to play with Jonathan Toews for like 3 years now, ever since Brandon Saad left. Here you go. I guess they're bringing him back.
But if you're Columbus, why would you want to give up Saad? I know you're getting something back in Panarin, but
well, Panarin, I mean, he's you take a look at his contract, that's a pretty good deal as well. So, I mean, they've got options there.
But why would they give up a cap-friendly deal?
Weird.
I mean,
it's weird.
That is I mean, Saad's still very young.
Oh,
yeah, mid 20s?
Yeah.
25.
I think he's 25. 20. Yeah. So, they're both really 25. Good players.
All right, we'll come back with Kevin Allen from USA Today and just talk about some of the stuff that's out there swirling. So we'll talk with Kevin Allen next on 3D. Let the madness begin. I guess some of the effects of last night's NBA draft is rubbing off on the NHL draft tonight. Whew. Yeah, this is
exciting.
If this is what it's going to be like tonight, man, buckle up. This is going to be fun. Back here on 3D. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason here in Nashville. Robbie Stanley alongside in studio with us, NHL.com. Willie Donick is in Chicago. We'll check back in with him in a bit. Kevin Allen from USA Today is also joining us. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
What, man, is this the prelude of things to come? I mean, this craziness with the Blackhawks, they pull off a trade with Arizona. Now there's rumors of Chicago and Columbus in talks. Saad?
Well,
for Panarin,
yeah,
holy cow!
I'm not sure anybody's shocked that there's, we're starting out fast and furious. I think pretty much everybody had predicted this, unless I missed something, because we've been talking about it for a month that there were going to be a lot of trades, before the draft. But the one thing that is shocking is what the Blackhawks are doing. I mean, there's no question that I don't know that anyone expected them to totally revamp their organization like they appear they're going to do.
Yeah, what does this mean, Kevin? I mean, we've known for the last several years they've been salary cap strapped, and they've had to shed money, shed salary, and they've been doing that consistently for several years. But it's almost like they're, you know, I'm not sure what exactly they're trying, where they're going with all these deals. What does it look like right now? And as we were just discussing today, right now, there's still more work to be done. But can you honestly put them as the favorite today? I mean, last year they were the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, what's interesting is people talked about, okay, they're going to make moves based on trying to get in a better salary cap situation. But this first move with the Coyotes, it really didn't change it all that much. I mean, Connor Murphy's tied up for 5 years, I think, at 3.8, and Kyle Jarmuson's just over 4. So that's not really a gain. I mean, this just looks like a team that says, you know, we don't think it's working. Maybe we're getting a little stale. Let's try to change it up a little bit. And, you know, the sod for Panarin, you know, that could be maybe somebody anticipated having trouble with trying to re-sign Panarin after this deal is done. But, it's just odd. I mean, it really does look like the Blackhawks have decided that they really have to make changes.
Interesting. Let me ask you about the Coyotes and just what is going on out in the desert. You have, earlier this week, Shane Doan basically shown the door after all that he's done for that organization. And it almost felt like the "we wish him the best in his future endeavors," you know, email. Shane Doan is no longer with the Coyotes. We wish him the best in his future endeavors. I mean, that's all you can do for a guy that gave, you know, meant that much to the organization. And now we learned Dave Tippett, their head coach the last 8 years, shown the door, or I guess mutually agreed, whatever. What's going on in Arizona? What are they doing?
Well, the Doan situation was shameful, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is a guy that had been Mr. Coyote, had really shown so much loyalty to the point that he didn't want to be traded, didn't want to be sent out as a rental player. He wanted to stay there and be a part of selling the the sport in Arizona, and to be, you know, drummed out of town with a press release saying we wish him all the best of luck and we thank him for all the service. That, you know, this should have been handled if they fully intended to drum him out, then that should have been done maybe with months to go, so he could say his proper goodbyes in case he wanted to retire. Now, you know, he's left to sort of, he just sort of disappears from the game if he retires. So I didn't much like that. Since the new ownership bought out the old ownership fully, it seems like they've been headed down a real rocky path here. I mean, you know, they've got no captain. They've got no number one goalie. They've got no coach. And here we are going to the NHL draft. Like, I really find the whole thing puzzling for an organization that really needs to show that they have stability and credibility in a market where they're not even convinced necessarily that the Coyotes are a long-term fixture there.
By the way, let's just go on and put this out there. It's done. Sod for Panarin. It's out there. It's done.
Yeah.
So it looks like he is going back to Chicago, and Panarin will be shipped to the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kevin, obviously the Predators lose James Neal in the expansion draft. Number one, how big of a loss do you think that is for this Predators team? And number two, what do you expect them to do to replace the production that they got from James Neal from a goal-scoring standpoint?
Well, I think it is a tough loss just because they don't have a lot of scoring up front. And, they were in a position like several teams were that they were going to have to lose a significant player in the expansion draft. And most of the teams chose to give the Las Vegas team something that was even more attractive than the player they could get. And the Predators chose not to do that. I mean, you know, the Minnesota Wild were going to lose a significant defenseman, and they gave up Alex Tuch, who's a real good young power forward, and a lot of teams gave up first-round picks. So, you know, I think the Predators must have decided, look, we can replace James Neal. Now, I don't think it's going to be easy because the trade market for scorers is very weak. There's almost nothing available unless you could somehow get T.J. Oshie. There's nothing in the free agent market, so they're going to have to try to make a trade. I know they'll probably convince themselves that maybe their younger players will step up and score a few more goals. Maybe they're going to replace it that way. But I think this is a significant loss just for the fact that they don't have a lot of top scorers. And, you know, you talk about consistency. A decade, James Neal's been 20 or more goals. Like, you can't say that he hasn't proven that he's one of the top goal scorers in the National Hockey League.
Looks like also Chicago and Columbus will swap their picks as well, and Mott and Forsberg may be involved in that as well.
Kevin, the other big move yesterday was obviously Jordan Eberle being traded for Ryan Strome. What kind of an impact do you think Eberle can have with the Islanders, and do you think a change of scenery for him could be exactly what he needed?
Well, for sure. Like, I love this trade from the Islanders' perspective. I mean, you know, to be able to play with John Tavares, and for John's Tavares, I think this is a great thing too. I mean, to be able to get a goal scorer. Like, I never really understood why it was almost like it was preordained that at some point Eberle was going to be traded. Like, I get it that he didn't perform well in the playoffs and that he's had some periods of inconsistency, but I think we see that with all goal scorers. And, you know, Jordan Eberle is still young enough to where his best season still may be in front of him. So I love this trade from the Islanders' perspective. I didn't think the return that the Oilers got, is one that should have the fan base excited. I mean, Ryan Strom has been another player that's sort of not lived up to expectations, probably less so than Eberle did, because Strom has never really had that, you know, real good season where Eberle has had that. So, you know, I know the feeling at Edmonton is that Strom's numbers will be stronger once he gets to Edmonton and surrounded by the talent they have, but we'll have to see. I would argue that Eberle is more proven at this point than Strom is.
Tyler Mott and Anton Forsberg. So maybe Forsberg becomes the backup for Chicago. I don't know, since they don't have Darling anymore. I don't know, Kevin, what you think about that the deal.
Well, I mean, I it's almost like we're fishing, and those are two small parts.
Yeah.
We'll just throw them back because we got some pretty big fish, I think, coming. I mean, you know, we may see Matt Duchene, and I'm not talking catfish either. I think we're talking some pretty major
deep sea fishing.
Deep sea fishing, no doubt about it. So, you know, it's I do expect that there's going to be a lot of pretty stunning moves today, but you got to give hand to the Blackhawks. And now here's the other thing too. You notice how they didn't wait until tonight to announce those moves?
Nope. They sure didn't.
Well, I don't think you'd want to start out the draft by telling the great fans in Chicago. Well, the Blackhawks announced we're trading away Hill Jarmuson, for Connor Murphy. I don't know that would have gone over real well. Although the Saad trade, I mean, he was pretty popular when he was here. But Panarin, you know, he's a little more electrifying, obviously, than Brandon Saad.
Okay, you brought up Matt Duchene. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Certainly, we've discussed it enough here. Does he get moved tonight, and to where, in your opinion?
Well, it's a real hard one to handicap. I think it's going to be, you know, he's going to end up, this is just a hunch, that he's going to end up someplace that doesn't get a lot of discussion about it. In other words, maybe he's going to end up in New Jersey or with the Islanders. The Islanders have a lot of defense. They could, send someone, a pretty major player, there as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know that he's going to end up, you know, there were rumors early that, that he could end up with a pretty major contender like Pittsburgh. I don't know if the Pittsburgh could make it work. And first of all, they don't need him. They'd have to put him on the wing. Or Montreal is the same thing. Now that they've moved their young defenseman to Tampa Bay in the trade that they made to get Drouin, I don't see that they have a part either.
Obviously, we've heard about the draft for a little while now, and it doesn't have the star power of a Connor McDavid or an Austin Matthews probably in this draft. But what do you think of the draft as a whole and the depth that it has in it?
Well, there's always players at the top that are going to be significant. I mean, there's a lot. I love that players somehow get better after the season starts. Like, Cale Makar was a pretty good prospect. Not pretty good. He was a real good prospect. But now all of a sudden people are talking like, you know, he might be Erik Karlsson. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, there was rumors yesterday that he might go number one overall to the New Jersey Devils, and they would pass on Nolan Patrick or the Swiss forward. So I think at the top there'll be six or seven guys that, you know, will be very helpful. Not the superstar quality of an Austin Matthews or a Connor McDavid, but even the top American, Casey Mittelstadt. Like, I've seen him, and he's got, like, Mike Modano, Austin Matthews speed. Now, he's not as polished and as accomplished or as dynamic as those two players were. But I think he could be, you know, another American star. Like, he's that good. And he'll go in the top six or seven, but he's a Minnesota high school kid. So there'll be some players there that I think will help some teams. But I would guess that only, you know, the top two would be in the league next season.
Kevin, I wish Twitter could talk. If so, we would just turn it over to Twitter and just go home and listen, because Twitter's blowing up right now. It's fun.
Yeah. I can't wait to, when I get off the phone, I'll go back at it here and see what's happening. So.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
All right.
Have fun in Chicago. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Kevin Allen covers the National Hockey League for USA Today, and I'm not even kidding. I mean, Twitter is blowing up, and it is interesting. We'll talk about this on the other side. What effects did the Predators have on the Blackhawks this offseason? We'll discuss that and more next on 3D 102.5 The Game. We would like to thank the Chicago Blackhawks for their timing in all these trades. It was perfect timing for what we're doing here on the show. So thank you,
Blackhawks.
We always appreciate cooperation.
Yes.
Y'all cooperated with us in the playoffs.
It's like
it's
like we sent them our schedule. We would like for you to do all this
thank
in this block of time.
For
so
your
thank
accommodations.
You. Golly, this is unbelievable. So it started. The first kaboom was the Blackhawks in Arizona striking up a deal. So Chicago will lose one of their big defensemen in Hjalmarsson, and they get Connor Murphy and a mascot named Dolphin in return. And I'm not sure. The mascot's going to have to play, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure how much money they save on that. I'm not sure exactly what. You're not a huge fan of Connor Murphy, are you?
No. He's a younger guy, so if you're the Blackhawks, you take a look at that and say, okay, he's younger. That's one thing they did talk about after they were eliminated by the Predators is for the first time they really kind of looked old. So you get rid of Hjalmarsson, who I think is 30, 31, somewhere around there, and I think Murphy's around 24, 25. He is younger, but he's not anywhere near as good as Nicklas Hjalmarsson is, in my opinion, anyway. So. Yes, you're younger, but what good does that really do you if you're not quite as effective? Would be my question.
Then the next kaboom was Chicago and Columbus. And a familiar face in Brandon Saad, who was sent to Columbus, and it was strictly not because they didn't believe in him or didn't want him. It's what we've been talking about. They've been, you know, having to shed salary for seasons now. And Brandon Saad was one of those guys they just could not afford to keep as much as they wanted to. I think when they sent him to Columbus, he was, what, 23 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, he was not even yet really in the prime of his career yet. So they get Brandon Saad back from Columbus, but the cost was steep. They lose Panarin, so they send him to the Blue Jackets. Plus, they swap a couple picks in next year's draft. I think it's a fifth round and a sixth round. Nothing really to see there. Tyler Motte goes from Chicago to Columbus, and then they get Columbus sends Anton Forsberg, who is a goalie. I think he's a Swede, right?
I think so, yeah.
Swedish goalie. And maybe that's the backup for Scott Darling. So Scott Darling has departed. He left, signed in Carolina.
Yep.
So they need a backup to Crawford, and maybe Forsberg is the guy. But, I'm just looking – looking at what they've done to this point, I guess we're all just trying to figure out what are they trying to accomplish here?
Well, the Brandon Saad thing to me is strictly for Jonathan Toews.
Well, there's a lot of that out there. And I read you, before you continue, Robbie, Mark Lazarus, who covers the Blackhawks, who we had on a lot in the first round of the playoffs. Mark Lazarus put out there that Jonathan Toews has not been the same player without Brandon Saad. There was also a report out there on Twitter that Toews and Kane went to Chicago management and said, we want Saad back.
Right, and there's no question.
So when the big boys talk,
people
have to listen.
Exactly, and there's no question. If you look at his numbers, Taze just has not been the same player offensively since Brandon Saad left, and they've kind of been searching for the past 2 years for a guy to play on his left wing with Jonathan Taze. And, you know, you've had Richard Panik there. You've had Panarin there at times. You've had Hossa there. I mean, you've had a lot of players on the wing with Jonathan Taze, and it really hasn't seemed to work out fully like it did when Brandon Saad was there. So I think that'll be the first thing you see when they open the season next year is Brandon Saad will be playing with Jonathan Taze once again to see if he can get that offense back. Because you look at Kane and Panarin over the course of the past 2 years, and they've been unbelievable. I mean, they've been really good. But Patrick Kane's a guy, I think, that you could pretty much put anybody with him, and he's going to be productive because he's just that dynamic of a player.
How many years has Saad been in Columbus? Two?
I think two, yeah.
Okay. So what have we been talking about? So since they lost Saad, what have they done?
First-round exit two times in a row.
First-round exit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With Saad, they won cups.
Yes.
Without Saad, Taze started sliding, and they've been out in the first round, and they just got swept.
Absolutely.
Twice.
Now, and then the question becomes, okay, you've gotten Brandon Saad back, but you also lost a good player in Panarin. And now what are you going to do on defense? Because you've got Connor Murphy coming in. You still have Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. But those two guys aren't getting any younger. I mean, last year was really the first time that I looked at Duncan Keith and said, you know what, he looks old. I mean, the Predators made him look old in that series. And he's played a lot of hockey. I mean, you take a look at the cup runs they've been able to go on, and he's playing, especially in the playoffs, it seems like he's playing every other shift out there. They're old on defense, and I think that's something they're trying to address right now by getting rid of Hjalmarsson, bringing in a guy like Connor Murphy. But like I said before, Connor Murphy I still think has potential, but he's not as good as Nicklas Hjalmarsson is. So is it an upgrade? Maybe over the long term it could be, but I'm not sold that it is right now.
So what does this mean for the Predators?
Yeah, I mean,
this is what I want to know. What is going to happen with Matt Duchene? Because everybody kind of feels like something's going to happen or he's going to get moved out of Colorado. It just seems like it's the right time. They're building for the future. They're not building for the now. So if that's the case, how much of a serious player do you think the Predators are to acquiring?
Oh, I think they're absolutely all over it. I really do. Now, the question I have is, do they have the necessary assets to make that happen? Because if you think back to the trade deadline, what the rumored asking price was for Matt Duchene was a top four defenseman right now that could come into their lineup and contribute right away. Well, the Predators have four of those, but they're not going to get rid of any of them, you wouldn't think. I shouldn't say they're not going to because they did trade Shea Weber last year, but it would be shocking to me
Look what you got in return.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Exactly.
And Colorado's approach probably has changed too.
And it very well could have. And if that's the case, that bodes well for the Predators because they do have some assets, whether it's a draft pick or the last two picks they had last year in Dante Fabro and Samuel Girard, both high-quality defensive prospects, something I think would be very attractive to the Avalanche. If that's something that the Avalanche feels like they can live with, then they'll probably make that deal. But you have to remember, I think things get a little more complicated too when you're playing in the same division as a team. I mean, you're probably more likely, if the offers are similar, you're probably more likely to give that player away to a team outside of the division than you would be inside of the division. So if the Predators are going to land Matt Duchene, I think they have to make an offer that really separates themselves from the rest of the league.
You know, I think it's easy for us to, and people would say, oh, yeah, you're saying that because, you know, you're in Nashville. Of course you would say that. But I don't really think there's any way, because I see other people now out there in other markets kind of hinting at the same thing that we've already figured out here, and now we're starting to see even more. What the Predators did to the Blackhawks, not only beating them in the first round, but just really undressing them, everything that we talked about, sweeping them, making Chicago look old, and that's not what you're supposed to do to Chicago because they're supposed to be the fast, you know, the fast team, the clutch team, the team that can always find that goal when they need it, and they didn't do any of that in the series against Nashville. So I think it's pretty clear that it's really affected the Blackhawks as they've sat here and had to stew over this the last 2.5 months, watching it where the Predators are today and where they are. And they probably are looking around going, we obviously have to do something. We're going to have to shake this up. I don't know if this fixes much, but I think they looked around and said, this roster isn't going to cut it. the way it's constructed right now.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I remember thinking back after the Blackhawks were eliminated by the Predators, Stan Bowman had a press conference, and he basically said, I'm very angry, and there will be changes made. And then a couple days later, they fire an assistant coach, and Scott Darling's gone. And you think, okay, well, how many big changes are they really going to be able to make? And all of a sudden, today, the gloves come off pretty much. I mean, Jalmerson's gone. You're bringing in Saad. You got rid of Panarin. And who knows if they're done? I mean, this is very early on in the day at the draft. There are also reports out there right now that they're trying to move up in the draft as well to acquire a better pick. So the Blackhawks, I think the Predators certainly got their attention. If they didn't, then shame on the Blackhawks, because there's no question the gap that used to be there between the Blackhawks and everybody else in the league and everybody else in the division specifically, I think is gone. I think you can make an argument right now that not only the Predators better than they are, I think Minnesota's better than they are right now. If Dallas ever gets a goaltender and some defense in front of that backs up their offense, I mean, they're not that far away either. So there's a lot of weapons in the Central Division, and I think the Blackhawks have realized that. They've realized that while they had a great run from 2010 to 2015, the last couple of years just haven't really gotten it done in the playoffs, and you have to change your roster at that point, or you're just going to get left behind by the rest of the division.
Looks like GMs woke up this morning in Chicago, and they're feeling frisky.
Yeah.
By the way, Darren Dreger, just putting out there, looks like another big trade is in the works. Arizona, Ranta and Steppen, likely to the Coyotes. Seventh overall could be a part of that deal.
I would think it would be. So Derek Steppen from New York and Ranta to go to Arizona. And then they'll get to see. Yeah.
What, Rangers go to seven?
Yeah. Good Lord. What is going on?
Like I said, they must have woken up today and just felt very frisky.
Hey. I like it.
Or maybe they were all watching the NBA draft last night. They're like, man, let's do that too.
They all walk into a room. Let's do this.
The only thing I ask is, when I'm eating a hamburger, don't make a trade. That's what David Poile did last year. I still haven't forgiven him for it. I was in Five Guys. It was a great cheeseburger, and all of a sudden he trades Shea Weber.
You ruined your lunch.
Just gone.
Ruined your lunch. Well, yeah, how about our show?
I know.
That was the ending to the show.
And by the way, they traded Shea Weber.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. What just happened? That was how we ended the show. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the second hour of 3D. We do that next. Well, it looks like the deal we just said was the latest rumor. Looks like it's done. Coyotes and Rangers strike a deal that will include Ranta and Steppen out to the desert. So they lose Mike Smith, enter Ranta, Steppen alongside, also looks like the Rangers will get the seventh pick, and also the deal includes D'Angelo. I don't know, is that D'Angelo Russell? I thought he was already dealt by your Lakers.
Well, the Lakers got tired of him. Well,
so the Nets have already moved him?
The Nets got tired of him and moved him and moved him to a hockey team.
That's a tough break.
I think
well,
any,
if he gets to keep his contract.
Anytime you can get out of the Brooklyn Nets
organization,
I think it's a really good,
that's a good point.
Deal.
Let's go play some hockey.
So what's your first impression on that deal?
Well, I just think when you take a look at the Rangers, they were pretty strong rumored to lose Derek Steppen anyway. So they go in. I think they're another team that you look at just kind of what they've been able to do over the course of the past few years. It's kind of almost been status quo, and they're always on the brink of being pretty competitive, but never really find a way to break through in the playoffs. So I think they're a team that's very quickly going to be looking for a new change, a youth movement. They've got a lot of old players. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist is not getting any younger. Rick Nash is not getting any younger. And I think getting the seventh overall pick, you're starting to build toward the future. And I think it's tough for teams, especially in big markets like that, to admit that sometimes they need to go through a rebuild. And I think that's what you're seeing the Rangers start to do right now. And for Arizona, I mean, it's just another move where you're bringing in some more money, some experienced players like Derek Steppen to step in and lead some of your younger guys like Duclair and Domi. And the goaltending situation in Arizona has been a mess for a long time. I mean, Mike Smith is now gone. Now you've got Ranta in there who, in my opinion, is not a starting goaltender. I think he's a very good backup, but he's not a starter. So I'll be interested to see what Arizona does in order to acquire a legit starting goaltender and make sure that they have a chance for their younger players to build and push toward a playoff spot rather than just kind of circling the wagons like they've been doing the past 3-4 years anyway.
Aaron Portsline, who covers the Blue Jackets, who we've had on the show many times, put out there that he wouldn't be surprised if the Panarin deal, part of that, a little sweetener, a little extra sweetener, was maybe for the Blue Jackets to go after Kovalchuk, because I guess Panarin and Kovalchuk were teammates in the KHL.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it really does. And Kovalchuk, he has a lot of faults. I mean, the way he left New Jersey and left the NHL, I was not a big fan of. I don't think that's the way that you conduct business. But there's no question on the ice, he's an extremely gifted player. Now, granted, he's not the same Ilya Kovalchuk that he used to be. I mean, he's up there in age now. He's not going to come in, I wouldn't think anyway, and score 50, 55 goals like he used to do. But there's no question he's still a very talented player. And if you're Columbus and you think that, number one, you're getting a pretty good player in Panarin anyway, but if you think that has a chance to maybe sweeten the deal for Kovalchuk and bring him over as well, then all of a sudden it's a 2-for-1 potentially, and you got to feel pretty good about that. So definitely for a younger team like Columbus, if you can get Kovalchuk in there in addition to Panarin, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Today you would put today and right now, you would assess the odds at what the Predators strike a deal.
I think they're pretty high. Now, what deal that is, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if they have the necessary assets to go get a Matt Duchene. But when you have the 30th overall pick in a draft that not a lot of people are a fan of anyway, I think if you're the Predators and you want to make a trade to boost your roster after you've lost James Neal, one of your biggest weapons is going to be this first-round pick as far as trade ammo is concerned. So I do expect them to make a move. What that move is going to be, I'm not sure. David Poile is – historically been pretty good at making deals that benefit his team right away, and maybe that they're not rumored to be in on, and it just kind of comes out of nowhere, kind of like the James Neal deal with Patrick Hornquist and Nick Spaulding. So we'll see how it goes. I think if you're the Predators, my number one target would be Duchene, and if you have the assets to make that work, I think you should go for it, because he's a guy that I think could come in and make just a ginormous difference for this team. You're talking about a 1-2 punch of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. You gotta feel pretty good about your forward group at that point.
I do not believe it's going to happen. I believe it's what I've been saying the whole time. Sticker price is going to be too much for David Poile. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams interested, and there's going to be a lot of stuff thrown at Colorado. And I think it's just going to keep driving the price up. And eventually, my guess is, while the Predators will be in on it for a while, eventually, just like anytime anybody who's ever bought a car or a house, but in particular for this case, we'll say a car, you have to know when to walk away, and you have to be willing to walk away if the negotiations aren't to your liking. You have to know that going in, and you're not going to get a good deal. So if you, long as you know that when you're shopping for a car, that you know you have your point, your breaking point, and if it's not met, you're willing to walk away. I think that's what David Poile will do. I think he'll be – they'll haggle, they'll go back and forth, and I think they'll be in the mix. But in the end, I think the price is going to just keep going up, because other teams are going to be interested in probably throwing a little bit more, and I think eventually David Poile is just going to walk away and say, I would have liked for it to happen, but it's just too much.
And I'll say this, if the price ever gets to one of those top four defensemen, you should walk away, because in my opinion – that's a weapon that no other team in the league has, that top four defense. And we saw this past spring with the run they put together how valuable that can be. So I think Matt Duchene's a really good player. I think he could come in and help this team. But if I'm David Poile, if the price is one of those top four defensemen, that's just a price I'm not willing to pay.
Well, you can't fix that.
Yeah, exactly.
This offseason.
Exactly.
You can fix the void left behind by James Neal. You can.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be Duchene. It can still be fixed. You can't fix losing a top four defenseman.
No,
not anymore. What I keep telling folks that keep saying, I would give up a top four defenseman to get him. And I said, okay, so how are you filling that void? Oh, well, there's, you know, some young prospect. Oh, so you think they're just going to jump in there and just fill the shoes of Mattias Ekholm? Really?
Right. I mean,
last 3 seasons, the Predators have played 42 playoff games. 42. Yeah. That's over half of a season in just playoff games. Think about the experience you get from that. That has been part of the growth to how they ended up where they did this past season in the Stanley Cup final, because of all the playoff minutes and games and skins on the wall they've been able to put up the last 3 seasons. You think you're going to throw an 18, 19-year-old out there and there's not going to be a gigantic drop-off? They may eventually be really, really good, but it's going to take time. It's going to take seasons.
Well, they're not even NHL ready yet. I mean, Samuel Girard and Dante Fabro are their 2 best prospects on defense. Neither one of those guys are ready for the NHL yet. So that's why I say, if the price is a top four defenseman, it's too high. You just got two wins away from a Stanley Cup with that top four defense and without Matt Duchene. I understand James Neal was a part of that equation as well. But like you said, there are still ways to go out and replace that. You have free agency. You have – I mean, hopefully you're banking on the fact that Craig Smith is going to have a better season than scoring 12 goals. Kevin Fiala can step in and score around 20 goals. I mean, right there, that's a big way to help that as well. So there's no question. Top four in my mind for this team with the current situation they're in is untouchable. You used to have that luxury, especially when you had Seth Jones. You could trade away a guy like Seth Jones and not really feel the effects of it on defense because of all the other players you had. You look at the Predators' pipeline, they are no longer in that position, in my opinion.
Pierre LeBrun putting out that the Blackhawks, just in the end, just felt like they were not going to be able to re-sign Panarin or Jarmelson in the next 2 years. So that's probably why they decided. And I think that was a part of what the Predators did with James Neal. I think he was going into the final year of his contract, and he's making $5 million now. Well, he's not going to ask for $5 million on the new contract. The price tag is going to go up. Let's say it's six and a half if he has a big season. I think they just realized that they were not going to be in position to give him that kind of money. So you knew you were only going to have him for another year. That played a part in why they didn't protect him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And just real quickly, David Pagnotta from the fourth period just tweeted out, Duchesne talks are ongoing and shifting. Carolina, Nashville, and others are in the mix. I imagine there's a lot of others.
I'm saying
in
the others, that's the point. And I think there's going to be a lot of others. And I just think in the end, it's just going to be too much. Robbie, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
Y'all too.
Robbie Stanley does a great job covering the Predators in the league for NHL.com. And we do appreciate him joining us. When we come back, you just made the list. We'll also check back in with Willie Donick in Chicago. We'll bring him back into the mix. You're listening to 3D. ESPN 102.5, The Game.